Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
It's Carson Wood.
Back at it. Sorry that we missed a week. You can thank my dead uncle for that.
Oh. He went there. I wasn't even going to bring it up.
He would get a kick out of it. He was a funny dude. He was a good guy.
I will not laugh.
We were going to try and work it out on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then both of us got busy. So here we are.
Yeah, Monday morning. I still wanted to do it last week, but with school and then people wanting to take me out to dinner incessantly. Thank you all for doing that, by the way.
Yeah, how dare anyone care about Carson?
I don't recommend it.
He had 10 days of birthday, apparently.
Big letdown.
Yeah, I should have bought your pizza today. I didn't even think about it. I didn't do anything for your birthday. Nothing at all. So we had two fight cards this weekend. You wouldn't have known it had you not paid attention to MMA news, I guess. Bellator's card.
Even if
card,
you did pay attention, you probably could have missed it.
Bellator's card, which I completely missed. I did look at some of the fights. Josh Thompson and Patricky Pitbull. Basically, Josh Thompson got finished with the headbutt, which is super sad. There's got to be another way to figure out how to handle headbutts. I mean, Melvin Gouillard lost a fight with a headbutt that came in. I mean, there's several headbutts in the history of MMA that have caused some major losses. Anthony Johnson with his headbutt against Gustafson, even though he just crushed him after that. There needs to be more done about headbutts, I think.
Just make them a no contest automatically, or
I think it has to be disputed. I think you move forward with the fight. And then afterwards, I think that it could be contested. I mean, if you can contest something like Holly Holm losing that fight, but then saying that she was affected by punches that came after the bell, and I guess the first one she could have been.
I was going to ask what you think would be more egregious, a headbutt or a shot after the bell?
Oh, after the bell, of course. But a lot of people are saying the GDR's her first punch after the bell makes more sense than her second because she was mid-combo. And once you start a combo, it's very hard to just, like, stop mid-combo. I think the ref did a pretty bad job of getting in between them as well. I mean,
wasn't it Herb?
It was some random dude. Because they were in New York. So New York had provided their own refs. And there was some questionable reffing last night as well. Apparently everything, but that was the judges. Everybody from Canada basically won all the decisions that they were involved in. And there were quite a few decisions. That's mostly what I saw. Every time I turned on the TV to watch it, because I was doing other things, it was some fight that went to decision. And every time I didn't watch, there was like an exciting finish. So,
do you buy the ref going back to this? Because some ref came out and said the rule is that you can pretty much even swing after the bell. It's the ref's job to break up action.
I think it was Big John McCarthy that was saying, like, it is the ref's job to step in, and until that ref steps in, that fight has not come to a stop.
I don't buy that. Everybody hears the bell. I know that's the rule, and I understand where he's coming from on that, but I don't buy it.
But I feel like Joe Rogan has even said, we didn't hear the bell over here. It was so loud in here that we didn't hear the bell.
You think that we're talking about the Jermaine Duranda?
No, we're talking just in general.
Well, I'm talking about, like, okay, like, there's really weird circumstances that you can't hear the bell. But that fight, like, Jermaine Duranda, like, what was the... But the other corner understands those ones. They're like, yeah, we didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And I get that. But, like, this one they're contesting. It's like, no, I don't think it should be when the ref steps in between. I think it should be when the bell goes off. Like, that's the aid for everybody.
But they have both, right? Because one... If they don't hear the bell, then the ref is there. But the ref needs to be there right then. I mean,
exactly. But
what they're trying to do is provide as many ways possible to prevent people from getting hit or hurt after the bell. And those two things together seem to have both effects of human error, right? One is not being able to hear it, which is technically, I guess not human error, but human error. But then the second one, of course, is the ref not getting in between them fast enough, whether it be a fear of getting struck or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, there's that as well.
I think the bell should be the universal rule because everybody hears that. Like,
but they obviously don't.
They should though. I'm not saying that necessarily Jermaine Duranda was 100% in the wrong on that if the ref's not snipping in between. But I think the rule is stupid that way.
Oh yeah, I think that it's an interesting situation, and I think one of the fixes that could help would be one of the things that you mentioned in a past podcast, which was a piece of technology that basically would buzz at the same time as the bell. You know, it would be on a timer or whatever it is, and as soon as that round started, there would be the timer in the thing around the ref's wrist, like a Fitbit or whatever you want to call it, Apple Watch.
Well, they already have those ones too, right?
And it would buzz.
They have those like things on their wrist anyways.
I didn't know if they did or not.
I think it's just a watch in general, but I think that would be a good fix for the refs so that they know exactly when to step in if there is a fault with the bell or something like that. But I just think that the bell is already a really good indicator that, hey, the round's over. And then you do have the ref there again as like a fail safe. But like, I just think it's a silly rule to be like, no, it's just when the ref steps in.
Well, it's always... Go ahead.
What if the ref like trips and falls, like a weird event, and you hear the bell? Like, are you just supposed to wait until he gets up to split you up and you can still throw punches? No, like you heard the bell. But
you know there's that one person that's going to continue to throw strikes. The one person is going to drop their hands and the other person
exactly.
is going to throw.
That's what I'm saying. The rule's stupid as just, is. Yeah. And that what they should do, in my opinion, is they just... if you hit after the bell, you get a point docked, period.
It would make people pay a lot more attention. I look at it and I feel like there's so few times that it happens, but it seems to be increasing, and it seems to be increasing in important fights.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Aldo, I think, struck Chad Mendes after the bell in one of theirs.
That was the one.
Michael Bisping, Anderson Silva, was a lot of that went on after the bell.
Did it?
Yeah. No, sorry.
The knee happened before the bell.
He thought the fight was over.
And the Chad Mendes...
That was a mouth guard, and he thought they were going to separate, and they didn't. And then he got kneed, and then Anderson Silva thought he'd won, and the bell went off. So different. He didn't do any damage after the bell. He just thought he had won, even though they were separating him because the bell went off.
The Chad Mendes one, that is the one that they couldn't hear, right?
Every time it happens, they say they couldn't hear the bell.
Really?
And then Joe Rogan will usually say, we couldn't hear the bell over here.
Then mic it up. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely has to be more done. I mean, get Reebok in there. Add some Reebok gear on those wrists.
You still have
to buzz.
I was actually thinking about something like that. In that case, then, I mean, yeah, I don't know. If you can't hear the bell, then why even have it?
Yeah. There's got to be another way to trigger that, to let the ref know and to actually... dictate the protection of the fighters, which is exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
Holly does have to defend herself, though. I think we might have already talked about this. I can't remember how long ago that was, if we've had a podcast since then, but she should still defend herself.
I agree, and she got caught. She did drop her hands, and she got blasted. Mm-hmm. And she, yeah, I mean, it's sad. Speaking of defending yourself, how about the promotion? So there was a smaller promotion where there was a fighter who decided to stop and begin to dance to taunt his opponent in the middle of the ring, and he got head kicked and knocked out cold. You showed this to me. Dana White also tweeted about it. Did you see that?
What did he say? He said,
this is why I hate this kind of stuff. This is why I hate when people do this kind of thing and they deserve to get knocked out or something like that, which is funny because Anderson Silva does it all. Well, did do it all the time.
I just don't get hating. Well, does do it. He did the capoeira thing during his last fight.
Yeah.
I just don't get why hating it. Like, that's what's fun. If they do it, they're kind of like, it's a show for the fans. And then if they get caught, it's justice for everybody. It's just like, nah.
Well, there's Nick Diaz, Anderson Silva, where Nick Diaz was dropping all the way to the ground and doing like push-ups and then getting back up. Like, mm-hmm. I understand why people do it, but I would like to see people get knocked out when they do it. I mean, just like Anderson Silva, Chris
Weidman. Did
you
want Cody Garbrandt to get knocked out?
I had a love-hate relationship throughout that entire fight. I liked Cody Garbrandt until the week of the fight where he just couldn't keep up with Dominic Cruz. And then in the fight when he started to do well, I was happy to see a champion get dethroned. But at the same time, when he started to be silly, it did bug me a little bit.
See, and it didn't me, because it's like, not only has he mastered his technique at a young age, he went in against one of the number one guys over the last decade, and not only did he beat him at fighting, he also showboated the whole time. It was like Babe Ruth calling
not the
shot.
Whole time.
Pretty much.
I'd say after the second round when he had kind of dominated.
Okay,
and he lost the fifth round.
Yeah, still though. I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, is there any doubt that he won that fight?
No.
Have you seen anybody dance that much in a fight before and point and
not that much.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, not only did we see him do all these things inside of MMA, he also showboated the entire time, like Babe Ruth calling it. And I think that's just fun. Now, if he gets knocked out, is that fun?
Yeah. Yes.
It's a good time. We're all having a good time then. All of us are watching it on Streamable or live over because again. That's where we do. We watch them live. And we don't use Streamable. It's not a thing.
We'll do it live.
No, I think it's fun either way. Like,
we need to get this out of the sport.
Well, shut the hell up.
Rashad Evans was one of the first people that I can remember doing it. And there's a lot of people that hated him for his showboating, and I loved it.
It's funner when they do it during the fight than after, because after, the other guy can't do anything about it. Yeah. Like, and I get it. At that point, you've won. You got to celebrate. But it's like, do it during the fight, too. Let's see what happens. Let's see if you get clocked and you become the greatest all time and lose to Chris Weidman and then need a rematch and break your leg.
Yeah, it's just an unfortunate series of events. So let's get a little bit into last night. The first thing I want to actually discuss is jump right into the main event, because there's only one other fight I feel like that's really worth discussing. Derek Lewis, man, what are your thoughts on him overall?
Well, you said that you were wrong after watching the fight yesterday. We talked about this a little bit.
Well,
you said
he was going to lose. That's where I...
Well, you stated some specific things. You said, I thought he'd be too slow. I thought he wasn't as good as he was. I thought his cardio wasn't going to be good, and I thought he was a lot slower than Travis Brown. I don't think you're wrong about any of those things. Like, even though you were like, I was wrong, I got to eat crow or whatever the hell you said, it's like, I don't think you're that wrong. He did look slow. He didn't have good cardio. He was laying on his side for a minute after the fight, and he's probably not as good as we think he is.
Doctors came in to check on him because he was laying down so long.
But I like him as a fighter, and I think he's fun, and I think he can go far in the division. I think he's going to be the next Mark Hunt, who he coincidentally wants to fight.
I think him and Mark Hunt are on par.
He's going to be right there. He always has that knockout ability, but he's a lot more athletic than Mark Hunt. Those kicks that he was throwing, he did a switch kick.
I can agree with that. His overall athleticism, but I think Mark Hunt punches harder. I think he punches really hard, but I would...
He throws a lot more volume, though. So yeah. Even if Mark Hunt punches harder, he has a lot more opportunity. Mark Hunt is very good at picking his shots,
yeah.
But Derek Lewis throws a lot.
Derek Lewis did too, though. I mean, he was waiting. He said exactly what they were waiting to do is to slip Travis Brown's right hand and then counter, and that's how we caught him originally. And so, I mean, he was picking his shots. He did not look good at all in the first round at all. And apparently he was saying that he was trying not to crap himself, that his belly wasn't hurt. And that's not the first time we've heard that. Michael Chiesa as well against Darouche also said that he might poop himself. And I think Joe Lozon, I think one time as well, said that, like, he went in and thought he was going to poop himself. And I don't know. I mean, he could be right. He could have just been telling it for as a joke, but he's pretty honest. Even to the point where in his post-fight press conference, he said that Travis Brown was the more overall developed mixed martial artist. Like, he was like, he's a better overall mixed martial artist than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and that's
more hard, he said.
Yeah, well, that and his coaches, right? And I think that what you and I talked about 2 weeks ago when I said, well, you really should watch tape. And you said, well, the coaches with football and everything else, they do that and then teach you what to do.
You can just get it by osmosis from them.
Yep. And I think they had the perfect game plan. I think they said, when he does this, you do that. And they set it up where even though he was tired, they kind of baited him in the second round especially. And he caught him with that overhand right after slipping that punch. So, I mean, hats off to his coaches for knowing Travis Brown and being able to pick that up. And hats off for him for lasting through that first round, because he looked miserable.
Well, and hats off to Matt or Travis Brown too, because I know it's three in a row for him, but he looked good in the first round. He looked like he was keeping range. He looked good again.
Well, and he lost to two former champions and then Derek Lewis.
Right.
I mean, Cain Velasquez, Fabricio Verdum, and then Derek Lewis. So, I don't think he gets his marching papers just because that division is so weak, but...
It's getting stronger, though. I'm always one just crapping on the division, but I actually think it is getting better.
I agree. Well, you have Francis Ngannou now. You've got Derek Lewis. That's I can't really think of anyone else, though. I mean, those are...
Well, there's still the perennials. The perennials aren't gone because it's weird how long, like, how long of a life that division has. Like, the Roy Nelsons, Mark Hunt.
Frank Mir says he's coming back.
Does he really?
Yeah, he says he's going to wait for a suspension and then try and come back, and I think it's going to be too little too late.
I think he's still going to be competitive. He's still got the skills there.
I think he's still top 15 just because it's such a weak division, but I think it's money. He's out of money, and he openly admitted that he's out of money.
I like Frank Mir, man. I'll watch his fights again, and I don't. I think he's got the experience because none of them are really like fast athletic guys other than Ngannou. It's not like they're...
It's all a puncher's chance. And, I mean, we saw freaking Chet Kongo, who's a fast athletic guy, and he could never really crack the top five.
That division, more than any division, in my opinion, is more experience and intelligence and listening to your corner because everybody, like, there's not this blazing speed for everybody.
Everyone has a puncher's chance at any moment in the fight.
Puncher's chance almost seems like there is almost... And I guess there is, but almost like an element of randomness to it. Like anybody can, but I mean like the really cerebral guys, like the Frank Mirs, like the Cain Velasquez, Verdum, they're gonna last longer. They take less damage, but then they also notice like there's such a small window for success in that division, and it takes I think smarts more than speed or anything like because. Conor McGregor, more than anything, like he's just a fast guy. He's smart too, but he's fast as hell.
Yep, I think
heavyweight's smart, in my opinion.
I agree with that, and it definitely is the smarter ones that go farther. Ben Rothwell, I mean, he's top five, and that's because he's a smart fighter. He's definitely not the best or most athletic heavyweight, but he is a smart fighter. Alistair Overeem, I would give athleticism. I mean, he's a smart dude too. But like, I look at Stipe, and you look at the next 10 people there. So Stipe, Verdum could beat him. Velasquez could beat him. Overeem just lost to him. Dos Santos has already beat him, and they're fighting again. Rothwell, I don't think, beats him. Ngannou could beat him. Mark Hunt could beat him. I think Derek Lewis, based on just them just throwing down, could beat him. I mean, Stipe might try and wrestle him. But Derek Lewis is just a big dude. And then... After that, Travis Brown, I don't think, can beat him. Arlovski, Stefan Struve. So basically, any of the top eight could go in against Stipe and win that fight. And now, I don't mean to discredit Stipe. He looked really good against Alistair Overeem. He looked really good against... He beat Verdum for the belt, correct? Like, he's looked good. But the way that he fights, where he just stands and bangs, it's just a matter of time before you get caught, Stipe. Just a matter of, I mean, he got caught by Stefan Struve by head kick. I mean, he was young in the UFC, but still, I mean, it happened. So it could happen again.
Talk about the stoppage on that.
Yeah, let's get into the end of that with freaking Mario Yamasaki, who apparently wanted to be a witness to Travis Brown's death because he just, I mean, there was probably four big shots that got through, way more than he needed. And it's not Mario Yamasaki's awful at stopping fights.
This one was particularly bad. I haven't seen one this bad since probably the Mark Hunt one, or Mark Munoz versus Weidman. Because this was like he had 3 points of contact on the ground, just completely sturdy, and he was just going with his dominant right hand to his face 3 times in a row. Not only is he hitting his head's slapping off the back too. It's just. Yeah, at that weight class, man, it can't happen. It's
well, I mean, even was he the one that was reffing Alistair Overeem and Stipe? That one went too long too, where Stipe had Alistair Overeem out and he just continued to just pound on him. Like it's been crazy how many. I would say that there's been more late stoppages as of late than there has been any other issues. I mean, I know after the bell is kind of picking up. But, man, late stoppages are getting just absolutely awful. Jones versus, yeah, I mean, it's Munoz versus Weidman's only number 8, apparently, of the worst stoppages.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Sorry, I'm looking at the worst stoppage. I feel like bad and late stoppages are one of the worst issues right now in MMA. more than after the bell, more than eye pokes, more than any other kind of small issue, I feel that late stoppages are a huge plague on MMA right now. Other than, I'd say number one is bad judging, and number two is definitely late stoppages.
I want to find out who that ref is. That's going to bug me now. You're 100% right. The Overeem Stipe fight. Whatever. Not a big deal. I think late stoppages is the number one worst because that's controllable. The athletic commissions.
It's Mark Goddard. Mark Goddard was Stipe versus Alistair Overeem, the young dude.
I mean, the Rosenthal one, I've said this for, and I'll say it forever, unless Mandela effect and I'm remembering wrong, which I know I'm not. The Mark Munoz, Chris Weidman is the worst stoppage I've ever seen.
I remember thinking that one was unbelievably bad.
It was, I mean, I don't think the blows were landing as well. His head was whipping back, but
yeah, he was this one, hit twice, right? His head was hitting. And then that's what I said about over him one. Too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the Munoz one, he was on like almost on his stomach getting punched up. So his head was at least wasn't slapping. But he still, it was probably like, 13 too many though? Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be fixed. I feel like we've hit that probably enough. But what's next for...
You calling it? That's a good ref.
I'm calling it.
That's a good ref.
I know that I don't want a late stoppage where we continue to talk about this. So I'm gonna call it right there. We should just start doing that, having a segment called The Late Stoppage where we just beat a dead horse.
Let's get a... We need like a bell.
That we can't hear. Then we'll just ignore it anyway and just keep going like they do on like...
PTI.
Yeah, exactly. Right, their bell goes off and they don't stop. So above Derek Lewis, he's number 8 now, but he's going to jump up. Mark Hunt, Francis Ngannou, Ben Rothwell, Junior Dos Santos, Alistair Overeem, Cain Velasquez, Fabricio Doom, Stipe Miocic. I don't want to see him fight Francis Ngannou because I want to see both of them fight higher up. Maybe
Mark Munoz is going to happen. Or, gosh dang it, Mark Hunt is going to happen.
Either that or Ben Rothwell, I think. He says Lewis said he's going to take 3 months off because being in beast mode is affecting his home relationship. But
regardless, we get a silly celebration at the end of the fight if it's Rothwell versus Lewis.
Yeah, one of them are going to do something silly.
Yeah, we're either going to get a Undertaker choke slam or the weird beast thing.
The only reason I wouldn't set that up is MMA fans would hate it so bad if Rothwell beat Lewis. Because Lewis is like the coolest thing in MMA right now. And I don't...
Is he?
I don't understand it. Yeah.
I like him. I didn't know that there was like...
On Twitter, after his interviews and after his fight, everyone was like, Derek Lewis is a man. Derek Lewis is the future. Derek Lewis is the greatest. Derek Lewis is the funniest. Derek Lewis is... Not the great. They never said greatest, but they're like, he's the funniest. He tells it how it is. Like, he basically...
Oh, great. He's Ronda Rousey of the heavyweight division.
Yeah.
Then why'd he beat her boyfriend?
Yeah. He's basically... He's everything that the MMA fans are. He's sexist. He's outspoken.
Is he sexist?
Where's Ronda Rousey's fine ass? And then he's got... He's got... He's got Twitter things about him watching runners and acting like he's about to start masturbating. Like, he's pretty sexist. But MMA fans, I think that hits 75% of MMA fans.
I'm probably in that percentile.
I feel like I'm a self-proclaimed elitist.
You're a pretty highbrow individual yourself.
So I think I fall into the 25% of other MMA fans.
I had a single mom growing up. Like, yeah. I'm from the west side of the tracks. So it makes sense. It's fine.
Yep. Maniac McGee over here.
I haven't really listened to any of his interviews though, so I guess I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, he's super loud and outspoken and says all of these dumb things that MMA fans and just absolutely love because he says he's real. And I didn't believe him until he actually said
the way you walked, the way you talked.
the Travis Brown was an actual better mixed martial artist than he was all around. And I was like, okay, like, he's not just tooting his own horn. And the hard part is I don't have to eat crow, but I have to admit, man, if you go back on one of these podcasts, I throw everyone that's ever been even charged with assaulting a woman under the bus and tell them, you know, I don't like Travis Brown. I don't like Anthony Johnson. And so for Derek Lewis to come out and be like, he puts hands on women, and it's like, it's double-edged sword, right? Because he was never actually prosecuted for it, but at the same time, and his girlfriend was supposed to be nutty. So there's a lot that goes into it.
Well, if you get that many headshots.
And plus he's getting punched that much, he's got to have encephalitis. But I mean, so I agree with him because I really don't like anyone that's been accused of any type of spousal abuse at all. But Travis Brown, out of any of them, has the least amount of actual like stuff to back it up. Tito Ortiz, there's a lot more going into it. Anthony Johnson I feel like there's
incidents.
Yeah. But Travis Brown, everyone's like, no, his ex-girlfriend's crazy. And she would be the type of person that would throw an accusation out like that on him just to cause issues in his career. And it went away pretty quick, where all of the rest of these had full-out investigations. This one did as well because the UFC takes it serious. Well, but
I mean, I know that he is a big guy too, but it doesn't fit the stereotype that that kind of person would go for a strong woman figure after that, like that can handle her own to a certain extent. Like, it just doesn't fit. That's not to say it didn't happen. I would just say in these instances, if they're really happening, we can't all hope for a Ray Rice situation where it's caught on film. Like, we have to start getting lawsuits and documentation going, because we can't have these accusations thrown out, and we also can't have women being beaten.
Yep.
Neither of those are okay.
Yep.
So if something is really happening, we have to make it open and possible for people to air out their grievances, show their side of the events, the evidence and things like that. And if they can't, then we can't just put these labels on people saying they're a wife beater. They put their hands on women. That ruins their career. It stops their money stream, which isn't the most important thing in the world. Well, but
Reebok did that.
What did they what?
Stop their money stream.
On what? Just in general? I get what you're saying. I see what you did there.
You were on track, and I derailed you a little.
That's okay. But I just think it's unfair. The way that it's currently sitting, it's a very negative environment for, one, the people that actually have legitimate grievances, and then also the people that are potentially being taken advantage of just because somebody throws an accusation.
That's one thing I really do respect about the UFC, and I don't know if WME is going to be the same. Anytime that there was any kind of incident reported, they sent their own private investigators out to look into it. And I don't know if that was a PR move, like, oh yeah, no, we looked into it, or if they were legitimate. And there's
you got to be careful, though, because so does the NFL.
Yeah, but I feel like
way early.
I feel like more people have been suspended by the UFC for that type of thing than the NFL. And obviously, there's way more people in the UFC, or There's way more people in the NFL, but I feel like the UFC, when they say that they're going after it and they're actually investigating it, they legitimately are. Like, Thiago Santos will never fight in Thiago Silva will never fight in the UFC again. I mean, he pulled a gun and, like, did all kinds of weird stuff. War Machine, if he ever gets out of jail, will never fight in the UFC again. Like,
or anywhere.
Or hopefully, well, if Thiago Silva's fighting in some weird...
He won't fight out here.
No, not in the U.S., I don't think. I think
there's no sanction here that he's going to get after that documentation.
Yeah. And last thing I want to talk about from this card is Hendricks at 185.
I got to go back and watch that today.
I wasn't very impressed. A lot of people seem to be. They say he seems to fit in well at 185.
That's not
it. Hector Lombard's kind of a small 185-er. And from what I saw, there's a lot of times where Hector Lombard got the best in the striking against him. I felt like Johnny Hendricks's kicks are really what kept him in until Lombard started to gas a little bit, which is weird because you figured it would be Hendricks who would. But even after the fight, he seemed like he was fine. He didn't seem like he was gassed at all.
I was pretty impressed with Hendricks' kicks, though. I had not seen him kick before. I just don't think he can do that at 170 just because of how quick they are. If he puts that leg out there, they're taking him down.
I don't think he's going to drop back down.
Well, he shouldn't.
If there was a 180, that would be his perfect division because he could have easily lost.
You sure? Because he still came 0.5 over on this one.
Did he really?
Yeah. Well, Hector Lombard was like 4 pounds lighter, three pounds lighter.
He looked big.
Yeah, he did.
Big rig. He looked pudgy, which is weird.
But if he's not gassed after, then do you, Johnny. Go do you, boo.
I would rather see him fight at middleweight and at least have some sort of success than keep trying to freaking make welterweight and lose, because he not only can he not make weight, but then his body's just torn up and he can't compete at 100%.
Let's get a nice 180 and we'll give him and Gastelum the...
give him Vitor Belfort.
They'll give him the title shot at 180.
Yeah. At the catch weight right in between. I mean, I think he could fight Vitor Belfort. Kevin Gastelum, of course, he could fight again even though he lost. Tim Bosch, I'd like to see him against Tim Bosch. I think that would be awesome. But
Neil Magny?
Neil Magny, I think Magny's faster than he is in that division.
He's been fighting fast guys for the last 5 years.
I guess that's true. There's enough. Give him Sam Alvey. Sam Alvey's number 15, finally. Middleweight.
I like the Neil Magny fight.
I think that's a good fight, too.
Because that's he just came off beating Hector Lombard, and I don't know. That was kind of I thought Hector Lombard won. I got to go back and watch it again.
Well, he did, and then they didn't call it. There was no stoppage. Once again, late stoppage, and then he came back and won in the second. He actually finished him. Because I don't think they would have. I don't think that they would have. He would have won by decision. I could be wrong. This could be the Mandela effect.
Mandela effect for sure.
Yeah, that I remember him finishing the fight, but really he didn't.
Who are we talking about?
Neil Magny
against Hector Lombard.
Against Hector Lombard,
I think didn't he?
Yeah,
he came back after he was almost gonzo.
Yeah, the second round. Lombard it was almost the exact same thing as
the Dan Henderson.
Dan Henderson. Yep. Wow, except for it wasn't a head kick. I've got it right here.
Mandela effect.
Yeah, he knocked him out in round three. Doo-doo-doo! All right, so Todd Grisham had his UFC debut.
Didn't hear a word one of what he said.
Most of this I didn't hear, but while you were upstairs, I listened to some of the fights.
When I wasn't talking.
And then when we weren't having conversations, I felt it was way too much of a WWE-type commentary. Where one time when Derek Lewis had Travis Brown against the fence, he said, Travis Brown has got to get out of there. Almost like he was up against the corner.
Why was he the dream guy for the UFC? Why was Dana like all excited about this guy? Who even is he?
I don't know if Dana. So Todd Grisham, I think, announced in smaller MMA promotions, went to the WWE, and was, I think, decently liked by their fan base. But man, he is super WWE oriented. I mean, things that he was saying were just like people. I mentioned it on Twitter, and a lot of people backed me up. They basically said they didn't necessarily like him as well, and they felt like he was just reading off of cue cards with a lot of the fighters. Which, I mean, there's gonna be a learning curve, and I can tell you that he hasn't been watching MMA the last 20 years. There's very few of us that have, and if you have, hats off to you. And if you've been watching it the last 20 years, and you are watching, you know, the Alaska Fighting League and Cage Warriors and stuff, then even more hats off to you. But that doesn't mean you can announce either. I mean, mic you up and let's have you talk. It's very difficult. Even, you know, we did one of our first podcasts was like a fight companion where we talked about the fights at the same time that they were going on. And it was very difficult to have a normal conversation, plus talk about the fights, plus like talk about what potentially was going on. Like, it's a very difficult thing to do. However, he's very wrestling oriented, and the things that he was saying were very hype related rather than like education related. And of course, that's why you have Brian Stann. But when you say like, Travis Brown has got to get out of there, I mean, that stuck with me. It was very like, maybe it's because I at that moment it clicked to me that he was like, oh yeah, he is a wrestling announcer, and I remember his voice, and it just finally clicked and it didn't fit. But I am gonna have a really hard time with him anytime he's part of the announcing table.
For everything that I was hearing thrown out that they could have done, that they were planning on doing, that would be cool if they could do, blah blah blah, all the scenarios, this like, of everything that was like, this was actually a story. Them replacing Mike Goldberg was a story, and we got nothing out of it.
Nope.
We got nothing. I think it's going to be such a non-story at the end. I just think it'll happen for a few years. Joe, if this is really the guy, because I thought they said something's getting wrapped up in July, Joe will be gone, and they'll kind of be in hot water, and they'll probably just revamp the whole team. I just don't see. I literally didn't listen to anything that he said. I didn't even, apart from you telling me, I didn't even know that he was the guy.
I'm surprised that no one on Reddit has talked about it a little bit more. Just because I feel, I mean, they loved Mike Goldberg, but he was a running joke in the MMA community.
But he was our running joke.
Yeah, virtually identical. Yeah.
Like, I was honestly okay with him leaving, but if, I don't know, I can kind of see me, I guess maybe I don't like change as much as I think I do. Just, this is how I mean, as long as I've been in the sport, Mike Goldberg had been there, yep. So, I don't know.
And he'd always showed up, and he'd, I mean...
drunk.
I'm yeah, put on his know. Pants every day and went in and did his announcing. But, yeah, to get rid of him for a WWE guy makes no sense. I mean, if he's been there for that long, just keep it. And I understand they want the cross promotion, and they do have a lot of wrestling fans, and there is a lot of wrestling fans
WWE
they can bring over.
WWE fans are, like, excited about Todd Grisham.
I think you mean Grisham MMA.
Or excited about Grisham MMA.
I don't know. I think it's just a familiar voice, right? You tune in and you recognize it. And I could be wrong, but I mean...
But you can't just tune into a pay-per-view event. I know yesterday wasn't on pay-per-view, but they're trying to get buys, right? Like, I get...
He's not a selling point, is what you're saying.
Like, what? Maybe, like, at best, a couple thousand people? I can't imagine it'd be more than that, like, tuned in just to hear Todd Grisham, even if it was, like, a familiar voice.
I don't think they're going to tune in just to hear him.
Well, I mean,
I think if they turn
through,
it on and they hear him.
Well, I'm just, maybe, but I'm saying, like, that alone, and maybe I don't understand marketing and the effect of things like that.
It turned me off.
Well, think about, like, if somebody's a wrestling fan and they do turn it on and they're going across and they hear the familiar voice, honestly, like, with how well that pay-per-view probably, or that that event probably did last night, do you think there was more than 5,000 people that could have been like, oh my gosh, I know this voice?
No.
I don't know. It just seems negligible.
I can agree with you, and especially, I mean, a Sunday night and a whole lot of weird things. That event just seemed weird. Everything about it just seemed off.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. Rumors again, the GSP is coming back to the UFC. That they're in contract negotiations again.
Oh, I heard it's done.
Oh, it's finally, done. It's done? Because that's what I'm looking at, and a lot of people are like, but what is he coming back for?
To fight, dummies.
Well, yeah. Well, it could be the fact that they're just trying to keep him out of Bellator. I think GSP did the best out of anyone negotiating his contract. You know what I mean? He's like, cool. No, I don't want what you're offering me, and I'm going to be at every Bellator event and be seen at every other fighting event everywhere to make you put your guys' freaking feet in hot water so you have to make a move. And I think it was a super smart idea for him to just be everywhere other than the UFC until they brought him in.
This was posted tomorrow.
It seems like GSP's coach is hitting it aside. I just saw that.
Tomorrow.
It's our boy Justin Golightly.
Tomorrow.
February 21st.
Justin's
living in the future. He used to do a bunch of voices, and he did them well.
I don't want
to
see that fight. I don't want to see that
fight. GSP McGregor? Neither do I. I don't think anybody cares, except, oh man, he did well. If you switch GSP, he's the third clickable link. Maybe it's because it's going to be posted tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
That's weird because it's fixed on mine.
I don't know. I want to see. I would have really liked him versus Wonderboy. I think that would have been fun.
They're talking about him versus Bisping too.
Yeah, that's fine.
And Bisping wants it because he wants $1 million payday, and it's weird to me that he has yet to get $1 million payday. You figure that him versus Anderson Silva could have got him $1 million payday. Someone that's been around that long and is that big in the UK scene, you figured he would have had $1 million payday by now.
But he's recently got the belt, though, and if they're not buying his cards, if he's headlining him and it's not that big of a draw... I get why he hasn't. I think he probably should have. But, like, honestly, like, $1 million paydays are relatively recent. And I'm more surprised that Dan Henderson wasn't $1 million payday since he was the champion and it was the rematch. That surprises me.
They're saying GSP could get down to 155. Apparently on the MMA hour today, earlier today, they're saying with a couple practice cuts, he could get down to 155 to fight McGregor at 155.
GSP? Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here. Not you.
Yeah, no. I'm leaving right now.
So you remember this picture, by the way?
Yes.
So Austin sent me that one, which is different than the... Oh, no, that's the one I sent him. Austin sent me this one.
Which is slightly afterwards?
Yeah, but he did find out it was this event. It was this event.
Penn versus Fitch. Mm-hmm. It was that event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you were 100% right about Soteropoulos. He found out because Casey Horman's. I didn't like disagree with you. We were looking at those.
I know, but the fact that I could call that from a freaking blurry picture. Yeah.
He figured it out because Casey Horman, it was one of those repost Facebook things, and Casey Horman had made a comment about it, and it was a BJ Penn fight.
Yeah.
We narrowed it down. Anyway, what were we talking about? I'm sorry. Yeah. I wanted to tell you about that, and I forgot last night.
Soteropoulos. No, we were talking about... Oh, GSP and his return. McGregor, Bisping, him being able to make it to 155. Apparently, he only put muscle on because he wanted to look good for the ladies.
Men?
Lady men.
We all know that he's not straight. Let's quit.
Tell that to the lady men.
I will.
The mother boys.
I'll tell it to GSP. He's such a nice guy. I won't do shit about it.
Hey, he got bullied all the time when he was younger. He might actually.
I'm trying to bully him. Just trying to tell him what's real and what's not.
What's real and what's not. All right, so UFC 209. You want to get into this? Or do we got something else to hit?
Do we want to get into that next week, or do we want to do that this week?
Oh, that's not this week?
Yeah, I thought March it was this 4th weekend. Is when it happens.
Do we have a fight this weekend? Oh, we have a week off.
Woo!
Woo! Wow, I don't know what I'm supposed to going to do. So let's get into Sousa versus Bisping then. Let's go straight from GSP to Bisping. Bisping saying that Yoel Romero will most likely get the next fight. He's saying that Sousa looks soft ever since USADA has really started to come out and test more, and that basically Sousa was on steroids and all kinds of other stuff, just talking crap on everybody in that division and saying he only wants to fight. Well, not only wants to fight. He says he'll fight whoever, but if he could fight anyone, it would be GSP.
Needs an easy fight. Makes sense. And I don't think that's an easy fight, honestly.
I don't think Bisping keeps his title. I don't know why he hasn't fought yet, or that fight hasn't been announced yet.
It is kind of an easy fight, though, if GSP's coming back. We just don't know how he's been. He has been training, but we just don't know. We'll see if there's ring rust for a gentleman of that age. Is he 38 now? How old is
Something
he?
Something like that. I just watched the, what is it called? Where Are They Now? On UFC Fight Pass with Joe Stevenson.
Uh-huh.
So he'll be on Tough 25. He's only 34.
He's going to be on the next Tough?
Tough 25, because it's the comeback series.
Wow. They're doing all, him, so is James Krause. Is it comeback from previous Tough seasons, or is it comeback from being out of the UFC?
No, well, both, because they have current UFC fights. Like, James Krause is in there, even though he won his last fight. Let me see if I can't find the entire cast. I thought you knew this. I thought we'd actually
I think you mentioned
discuss
it.
This. The Redemption, UFC... Tough 25, the Redemption, Joe Stevenson. So he's only 34. So if he was in the heavyweight division, he'd be perfectly fine. But in the lighter divisions, it's a lot harder. So we've got, let's see here, Seth Baskinski or whatever his name is, who beat Ultimate Fighter 11, James Krause, Mehdi Baghdad, who is a current fighter or may have just got cut. Justin Edwards, who was on The Ultimate Fighter and had a decent actual run in the UFC. Our boy Ramsey is going to be in there. Ramsey Nijem will be there. Eddie Gordon will be there. Diego Lima from Bellator will be there.
There just hasn't been enough painted fingernails in the UFC since Lieben and Nijem left.
Gilbert Smith, who was also Bellator, is coming back. Joe Stevenson. Hector Urbina, who was in... I believe it was the Brazilian one. So yeah,
I was going to say that
looks like all
be...
of these people were actually on the Ultimate Fighter. I didn't think James Krause was, but that makes more sense, right? That every one of these guys had been on the Ultimate Fighter before in some capacity, except for James Krause, who was eliminated in preliminary rounds.
That'd be kind of fun if you did like a runner-up episode.
You know what's sad about this? If Jordan's head was in the right place, meaning literally his like all of his brain stuff had been checked out. This would be a good place for him to potentially go back on.
Unless he still has a contract with Bellator.
I doubt it.
Out of it.
I doubt it. James Krause is on here, and he got eliminated in the early prelims, but he made it like... But he's got some wins in the UFC. I guess he's only 4-3, though, in the UFC.
Isn't that 155, though, that they'd be fighting at?
Yeah, he would be...
So Jordan...
He'd be too heavy.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. GSP could make 155, I feel like Jordan could. Am I wrong?
I think he could. I mean, he was fighting at 205 and then got all the way down to 170, but he looked making that weight cut to 170, he looked bad. He always looked really skinny.
So could GSP make it?
I feel like he couldn't. That's crazy to
me. I don't think GSP's that tall.
Okay. It's like 5'9", right? He's like my height.
Yeah, he's a pretty short dude. Okay. He's just short and stocky. But, I mean, that's all. What? Anything else you want to talk about? That's about all I got.
Mandala effect.
The Mandala effect in MMA.
Which everybody thinks is Mandela effect, but it's not because of Mandela effect. I don't know. I can't think of anything. I kind of, when you had mentioned that it was 209, and I kind of got excited, and I started thinking, no, that's March 4th, which is the most moving day of the year.
That's actually that's 2 weeks. So we have all of this week. There's not one this, no, oh no, it's just a week.
Yeah.
So no fights this weekend, but the week after that. Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. Freaking, we can talk Joe Rogan getting into a spat on his podcast, but I don't think there's any reason for that.
With Crowder.
Crowder. Mitch Rione. Mitch Rione pulled out of his Fedor fight.
He still wanted to fight.
Well, yeah, and then the doctor stopped him. He had...
For kidney stones.
Kidney stones. So the interesting thing about this is that's what sunk Affliction, is someone pulling out. I think it was actually Arlovski against Fedor. And it sunk the whole promotion. So Bellator is in a decent spot that if they can lose their main event and not just like go defunct, good for them for being able to actually stay up and stay afloat.
Did you see the video where people were kind of like, it sounds like people were kind of shitting on Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Mitrione.
Which isn't fair.
Well, then they brought up the video where Dana and Joe Silva were breaking it to him about the news when Stefan Struve pulled out of their fight. And how mad he got. And then immediately, like, once reality kind of sunk in, it takes like 2 seconds. He just goes, no fucking way. Don't. You're fucking joking. And Dana's like, no, it happened. And then it kind of cuts to him going over to Stefan and like kneeling down and being like, are you okay, man?
Yeah.
Like, he's all in all a good dude.
I think he's
weird.
I think he's, I don't know. He's one of the most polarizing fighters in the MMA community because people love him and they hate him at the same time. So where he gets his eye poked and everyone gets up in arms and they're like, hey, Matt Mitrione needs to be taken care of and there's this. And then when he left the UFC, everyone was like, oh, he shouldn't have to leave. He shouldn't be going anywhere. But at the same time, anytime he's either missed a fight or something weird has happened with him, everyone's thrown him under the bus. And everyone, I think that this isn't the first time he's been told that he was scared. And I think that's one of the dumbest things ever. Like, yeah, I think that there is fear that plays into these guys. But if you fight MMA, it's not necessarily a fear of fighting or a fear of, it could be a fear of losing, or it could be a fear of like the respect that you have for fighting a legend, such as like, you know, Derek Brunson kind of going slow against Anderson Silva and it costing him the fight, but not like a full on fear, like bungee jumping or skydiving. Like I might not actually do this. They're going to do it.
So somebody posted also on Reddit, the video of a promo of Cowboy when he talks about him turning from Donald into Cowboy. And it just goes through his whole fight day and how nervous you get right before.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's telling you stuff and you just want them to shut up and you really are just thinking about it and you really are scared. But then once you get through the curtain and the lights are on, you're fine. But he's like, everybody goes through being scared. Yep. Nate Diaz has said the same thing.
Yep. Nate Diaz said he convinces himself he's going to lose
every time.
So if he does, he's okay with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy. But, I mean, each person has to do... I mean, imagine being knocked out 2 or 3 times. My cousin Jordan, watching him after a couple knockouts. You literally fear being knocked out. Forrest Griffin, who's one of the craziest people in the world, was like, I don't want to take damage anymore. I want to be able to eat solid foods after my fight. You know, I don't want to have to wait a month to eat solid foods.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that is technically a fear, right? The fear of being knocked out and not being able to eat food for a month. You don't want that, so you're going to go out there.
It's a discomfort and a fear. Like, that's just not fun.
Oh, here's one. The last talking point. So Tim Elliott is auctioning off a spot to be his corner man in the UFC Kansas City to the highest bidder.
Awesome.
I don't like it.
Why?
I feel like it's a money grab. Hey, you pay the most amount of money, and you can corner me in my next event. That's great. I mean, it's publicity for him, which is great.
What the hell are they supposed to do with Reebok? They got to make money where they can.
But they could still not allow it. The UFC could still call them up and be like, hey, no, that's not okay.
Why?
Because they can. I mean, they're the UFC. They can do whatever they want.
That's fair.
So, I mean, I like
it. If the guy gets refunded, it's fine.
I like it and I don't. Well, he'll probably have never, he won't have paid until probably day of. I like it and I don't, right? I like it because it's creative and it's a creative way to get money. It's Tim Elliott who needs to build his name, and now he's trending on Reddit or whatever it is. But at the same time, it just feels like a money grab. Like, hey, prove how much you like me by spending money on me. It's like, cool, why don't you just get a? I was gonna say, why don't you just get a sponsor? Why don't you just get a sponsor? Well, you can't, Reebok. But I don't know, man. I don't necessarily like it. It feels forced and it feels fake.
It is. Like, it's all of that, but like, I can't fault him. It's like when bands charge more for people to come for VIP tickets, except for it's way more fun.
Or meet and greets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, cool, you want a meet and greet? You have to pay $150. It gets you into the show, but you also get to shake my hand and I'll sign something. And it's like, really? I mean, at least they get a fight kit and get to hang out with him and do all of that. I think the thing is with that, too, is I know Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott's one of the best at that weight, but I don't see his tenure in the UFC being any longer than his first tenure was.
Which just alludes more to the fact that...
Which is a great reason to try and make as much money as humanly possible while you're there.
Especially if... Maybe he can just keep doing it and getting different people.
If it works for him, I bet your ass you're going to see a lot more people doing it. I mean, we already have Max Holloway, right?
I don't think so. Because so many people are married to their corners. Like, they're not.
Well, you want someone that can actually help. But Tim Elliott, I mean, he can lose a corner person. I mean, think about all the people that would invite a sibling, right? They're not going to be able to help them with actual, like, advice. It might be good to have them there to come in and actually, you know, just be there for a competence boost. But at the same time, they're not really, or they're your dad or whatever it is. Well, not your dad, because you'd have to find him first. Gosh. But... But you can imagine.
Well, if I was on a platform like that, Justin, I think it'd be a hell of a lot easier.
Hey, when the money starts coming, I'm sure he'll show.
Mike, I'm worth literally thousands if I sell some things, mainly my car.
But then you can't. He couldn't come to the fight because you'd have to
shout out to you, Mike Welker.
Yeah, you'd have to sell the spot to someone else in order to get in. Plus, his brother's Wes, so I don't think he needs you really much.
Shit.
I mean, that guy walked out of horse races just giving money away.
Also gets Snapchatted while having sex with ladies and he falls asleep. You ever see that?
Yeah. During?
Well, he's asleep.
He's after asleep. And fell asleep.
And some girl Snapchatting to everybody.
I don't know. I don't know who that makes look worse. Her, that she cares that much to be like, look who I just
I don't think
with.
It makes him look bad. I think it's pretty much understood. His teammate is Gronk.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, he had a one-night stand? Gronk had three that night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in unrelated news.
You said that last one was it?
One of the biggest U.S. or one of the biggest YouTube stars and the dude. Oh, no. Funny things, right? So PewDiePie, right?
PewDiePie!
He gets dropped from Disney for racist comments, even though he's not racist. H3H3 comes out to his defense.
Everybody comes out to his defense. He had Sargon,
Well, Shaytards, which is...
Chris Raygun.
So the MCN that had him originally started with the Shaytards. Well, Shaytards sold their MCN, or their basically management group, and themselves over to Disney. Disney uses that, doesn't make any money off of it, PewDiePie, whatever, whatever. Maker Studios with Shaytards. Anyway, the important part of this is during the same week, that dude had been sexting a freaking cam model on his Twitter, and she brought it all out and basically went on some other YouTube thing and talked all about it. And had photos of all of the illicit conversations that he was trying to have with her. And so now everyone's jumping ship. So it's kind of funny that Maker Studios is trying to make PewDiePie look bad. Within the same week, the person that they bought their company from, or the person that started it, was more or less cheating on his wife with cam models slipping into their DMs. So it's kind of interesting how the world works like that. When one person's trying to condemn one person, there's always something that they can come back on them and make them look bad as well.
Always happens that way, it seems like.
Maybe like, that's what. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe some. Maybe PewDiePie knew her and was like, "Hey, this would be a great time to come out with this information." That you heard about PewDiePie and you didn't. You most likely didn't hear about the rest of it. Exactly.
Also, just to make sure that I'm not slandering or libel, I don't know which is which. I can't remember where I saw it. I was pretty sure it was Wes Welker. Just to make sure that it wasn't, I could have completely fabricated that story, and it was completely by accident. Just to not disparage anybody's.
Oh, great! We're gonna get.
Name.
We're gonna get.
I cleared it up. I cleared it up
by Wes Welker.
I cleared it up. Well, he should.
Well, you're saying it is or it isn't him?
He should not steal my dad.
Yeah. Did you actually Google search it to see who it was?
I can't find it. I know. I have the image in my head, oh, and great. I swore it was.
We're gonna get a call from the NFL's.
Well, I'm calling up my lawyer. We're getting child support.
Years and years.
Both of us could have been athletes if our dad would have given the same amount of time to both of us.
That's true.
I have great hands.
You could have been the best.
I have great hands.
Yeah, and you only know one speed, which makes you great at sports.
But bad at practice.
Bad at practice because you hurt people. Because you hurt people. That being said, thanks again, guys, for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. And follow us on Twitter at OneSpeedMMA. Tell us where we're wrong. Tell us where we're right. Tell us how amazing we are. You know, we appreciate it every night. I should have rhymed that, right? Tell us where we're wrong. Tell us where we're right. Tell us that we're great every night.
You killed it.
No, I did.
You had it. And then you let it go.
I killed it. And we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks.
Bye.